So let's just pray and dive into this. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness. We thank you for the Bible, the Word of God, and for the soundness that we, Lord, everything that is sound about us comes from your Word. And so we look into your Word, and the Word says we looked into him, and our face was lightened, and we were not ashamed of the enlightenment of your Word. Your word brings light, and we just pray that light will teach us tonight and prepare our hearts. It's always, it seems, for the purpose of the outpouring and revival and souls being born again, and this is all your heart, the kingdom of God, come, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name, amen. Interesting subject tonight, and thought about, Lord, this is really something I'd like to say to the bigger crowd on Sunday mornings, but the Lord, he has his timing on everything, and so we're going to study the Bible and bring out some truths, and I think it's very, very important, especially at this particular time. I don't know if you'll make the connection right to start with. Excuse me. It's good. I don't know if you will immediately make the connection, so I'll make it a little bit for you to start with. I was in my confession time yesterday. Now, I usually do, yesterday was Tuesday, but because of things on Monday, I didn't, all Mondays, that time, I've kind of got a Rolodex of how I do things. And Monday is that one day that, among other things that I will do as far as prayer or word, that I'll also spend my time in a blueprint of confessions. Some of those confessions are corporately, some of them are personal, and then some of them include revival, some of them include healing. Healing scriptures, all kinds of things. But I got to this one part, and I think this is a third of the way down or halfway down in that list of stuff. I've got it all there on my iPhone, so I can sit there, pray in the Spirit, then hit that, go into all the different categories that I have, and each one of them opens up into a new page where I can go through my confessions. And I'll sit there before the Lord and speak these things, and they're all word-based. I have scripture along with that. And I got into this part, and I didn't get any further. The Lord said, teach that. Teach it and teach it tomorrow night. And I immediately, as is always the case, when he says teach it, then the Holy Spirit just begins to flood you with all the things that you need to say. Now, every service is different. Sunday, there was no notes, and actually there was no open Bible, but there was a lot of Bible, and very, very powerful. But tonight is notes, and tonight is, I'm going to have to stick pretty close to them to complete. But I got to this, the longevity part of my confession. And I'll say this later, but I'll say it now, but this is a very private part, because I've never taught this. I've alluded to it in services and talked about it some, but I've never got into the private part of my own personal confessions. And the Lord said, I want you to do that. So I said, okay, I'm going to do that. And so you'll hear some things tonight that really I've never said publicly to a crowd before, but the Lord said, I want you to do it. And the reason being, and this is what I started to say to start with, the reason why I went into that explanation of tonight's message, is because of the present darkness, because of the present fight that this church is in and the overall body of Christ concerning especially one of those eight particular demonic spirits which the Lord said would come and really try to have an insurgence back into the body of Christ. And the first one was, and I don't know that it was first as in top of the, but it was the first one the Lord gave me was the spirit of infirmity. And we've just seen a flood of that. We've just seen an absolute, I mean, you don't have to be real long in this thing and real spiritual to say, wow, this is totally unusual. All the different things that have hit the body of Christ, and I have an awareness of a lot of other people and leaders that are fighting, I would say, not just natural circumstances, but the spirit of infirmity. And then I understood later, I just was obedient and said, okay, Lord, I'll teach this part. But I thought it was more information. But then the Lord shared it was prophetic, especially in regards to an offensive strike against the spirit of infirmity. And so this really is an offensive strike because it will build, I believe, an expectation in all of us for health and for healing and for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in a way that really sometimes I don't know that everybody listening thinks about it. This message title tonight is Longevity for Revival. Our pursuit of longevity is not just based on the desire to live a long and happy life. The foundation of that pursuit is far deeper than that. That foundation extends itself into our call on this planet to co-labor with the Holy Spirit for the end time harvest. And so it's got a meaty purpose, a real meaty purpose. So turn with me to, and I'd like for you to go to these scriptures so you'll see it for yourself. And those of you that are watching at home, you can listen, or I hope the word's close enough to you, but if you would, turn with me to Psalms chapter 91, verse 14. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Psalms 91, verse 14, the psalmist said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Now, this is the part in the psalm where the Lord begins to prophesy back to the psalmist. The psalmist up to this point is speaking things concerning the Lord, and then the Lord begins to prophesy back to the psalmist. Verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. This is a promise. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And then the Lord says, this is a promise. Now, here's a promise. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Aren't we glad? We're so glad that he promised us long life. And then in proximity to that, Proverbs chapter 3. Now, there is so much scripture that could go along with these promises of life and health, but we're specifically honing in on longevity and to answer some questions on what is longevity, how is it considered before the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Hallelujah. Then you can just, you can turn there if you'd like, but it's just one verse, and I could have included more. But this is the Ten Commandments. This is Exodus chapter 20. This is where you get all of thou shalt nots, this is Exodus chapter 20, and this is the Ten Commandments. And this one commandment is in there, and it's verse 12, and here's the commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So here's a commandment, and here's a promise with the commandment. That's pretty amazing. And then in Ephesians, if you will, you can turn there. Ephesians chapter 6. Now this is the that wasn't just stated as a commandment in the Old Testament. Here's a New Testament honoring of that same commandment, and this is by the Apostle Paul. And he basically refers back to that particular commandment in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. He says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee," and Paul rehearses this, "that thou mayest live long on the earth." Well, just a couple of observations here. I might say it again towards the when I get into these that particular portion of my notes. But there's something to observe about children. One, we get the idea that this is for adolescents. Little guys, honor your father, you know, father and mother when they tell you to go take out the trash. This is an encompassing. If you're on the planet, you're somebody's child. If you're 95, you're somebody's child. This has no age limits. It also has no time expenditure in which, whether living or dead, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments, that we are to cease to honor them or think that honor to them is finished. So here's the question. We just read four scriptures, four different places, four or five, that the Lord's wants us to live a long life. And he wants us to have, he's got a promise with that, with honoring our parents. But the Lord wants us to live a long and healthy life. The question is, what is to be considered a long life? I mean, what's the perimeter of that? To live long, to live one's life, is it to live a long life? Is that 50 years, 60 years, 70s, 80s? What is a long life? I mean, is there a biblical definition that we could, you know, say, okay, there, what is considered to be really a good long life? Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. We're entering the history of time in which the flood is about to take place. This is the beginning. You know, if you're in Genesis 6, you're close to the beginning of creation. Man has fallen, Genesis 3, and it doesn't take long for the generations to just totally be corrupted. So look at verse 1. "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. His days shall be 120 years. There were giants, verse 4, in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, that they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness," I mean, here's the corruption, "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented," this is one of the most amazing verses here, "it actually grieved God." Now, he knew this was going to take place, but it's amazing when you watch God how that he can have the foreknowledge of something, and yet he lives in the moment. He lives in the moment with humanity. "It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Wow, God's like, I am sorry to myself, I guess, that I ever created man, because everybody has become wicked. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's a fantastic, and that's worth another message in itself. I'm going to use one particular verse in this, and we're going to jump into it a little deeper. But we start on verse 4 and go forward, you know, talking about the giants in the earth. Let me take just a teeny rabbit trail here to say this concerning what we just read. Never, never get caught up in the gross misinterpretation of angels and women producing giants. That is conceived by devils, okay? And it's foolishness gone to seed, and it's a gross misinterpretation of the Hebrew manuscripts. So it's just not there. I've met men of God that said, you know, they get caught up in silliness, and you can't even describe how many different ways that will entangle different questions. It brings up another question and another question, another. It's foolishness going to seed. Okay, enough. Verse 3, Genesis 6:3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. God recognized his ability to continue to sin since the fall. Yet his days, listen to what God says, yet his days shall be 120 years. God slashed the genetic longevity of mankind out of his mercy to keep man from continually falling into darkness. Now, if you read up to, and we certainly do not have time, if you'd read up to this point in time, these guys, all of them, from Adam all the way up to Noah, they're living 700, 800, 900 years. Literally, this is not figuratively, they're literally living this long. But at this point in time, when God, just prior to the flood and just prior to all judgment, two reasons why, one of judgment, one of mercy, when the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God slashed the genetic longevity of mankind out of his mercy to keep man from continually falling into darkness. This was all as much an act of kindness as it was judgment. In essence, to be as brief so we can go on, God basically said, the longer you give flesh to maneuver itself, it goes dark to dark to dark to dark. And the more space you give flesh, the more fallen nature, it only gets worse. So I'm going to give man a perimeter to make up his mind. Hopefully, once he's basically made up his mind, that this made up mind stays made up long enough to carry him into eternity. And so you've got to understand, let me stay with my notes so I don't get too far out, how this is goes right into our particular modern day era. There is no scripture, to my recollection, that reputes this perimeter, not in the Old Testament, nor the New Testament, or the New Covenant. God has not rescinded this perimeter. He has neither lengthened it, nor has he shortened it. Okay? So here's some observations, and these are really good observations because this will help build our faith. Because the perimeter is set by a divine declaration, this was God set the perimeter, man will never evolve past or back into the hundreds of years lifespan that he once lived. That'll never happen. This perimeter will act as, or this, yes, this perimeter will act as a perimeter or provision until Christ's return. No amount of health care or modern science will ever take humanity very far past that particular timeline. No one will ever escape death unless you're here on the planet when Christ comes. You may have a changed body. We'll not all sleep, Paul said. Some of you will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That'd be nice. I hope I'm part of that group. This teaching is not to support immortality in this present body. I know we're going to die. I know that. But this gives us a valuable choice. And I believe that if you listen, you'll hear it to go very contrary in the face of for battling infirmities going forward. I will say this, what we just read, this particular verse, when we read this verse and the Lord said, yet his days shall be 120 years. Let me say this. This is not a promise. It's not a promise. And I'll explain why I can say that, or why I should say this. This is not a promise to mankind that everyone will live to be at least 120 years old. He said this is the perimeter, yet his days, he's flesh, his days will be as yet 120 years. And this is not a promise neither to the this is not a promise to mankind that everyone will live to be at least 120 years old, not in the world, nor even in the church. But it is to be understood as a perimeter, or I like to say it like this, as a provision. It's a provision. In other words, I've provided for you to go at least this far, if you would like. There is no commandment. I'm giving some preface to this so no one feels watching or in here a sense of having to. There's no commandment that we are mandated by God or in his scriptures that we have to press towards this mark of longevity. Claiming and confessing this mark of longevity does not make you more or less spiritual. But we have to understand that if God gave this provision, or I call it a blessed allowance, it's a blessed allowance, then every promise of health, healing, or longevity, all those scriptures that we said, what's the end of those? When the Lord says that he wants us to with long life, will I satisfy you? Well, how far is long life? Then every promise of health, healing, and longevity would work together towards this final end of the provision. In other words, to that full extent. In other words, promises, the one that what we can call a promise, it works with the provision. If that's the perimeter, if that's the provision, some of you might be, especially the younger you are, maybe thinking, that's not really a major concern. It will be a major concern. It will be a major concern. And it will even be a major concern even in youth when you understand when your body is attacked, how important it is for the right reasons, especially to fight for longevity and a continual renewing of health to your body. Even after the ark, men lived in the shadow of the former longevity. In other words, even after, right after what I just read, comes the ark, the flood, they get off the ark, and Noah, he lived kind of in the shadow of all those previous long lives of hundreds of years, and you see this go on for quite some time, and we don't have time to get into all that and prove that. There is a progressionary or a progression towards this perimeter of 120. Life expectancy began to be shortened. Now, you can just listen to this one, but or write it down or turn there. Deuteronomy 34:7. And this was a long, long time. This was Moses. Deuteronomy 34:7 says that Moses was 120 years. He went to the limit. He was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. That's Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. Moses lived after the supernatural genetic slash. That was a genetic slash. God did that, and we said for what reasons? Judgment and mercy. Moses lived after. He's after the slash. We're right along. Even though Moses is a long time ago, we're still. He was after the slash. We're after the slash. But it is important to see that with the scripture we just read, that his vitals and physical strength had not decreased all the way up until the time of his death. Now, let me give you a couple words here. Natural force, the word natural force here, and I like the way the King James says it, because it says his natural force, nor was his natural force depleted or abated, is the word depleted. And of course, I'll say it again. We're in the same classroom. All you slash people, go over here, and all you pre-slash people, we're in the slash people. We've got a perimeter, and our perimeter is, I'll continue to reiterate, it's not necessarily a promise, but it is a blessed provision. Like if you want to, you could believe for. Okay. Natural force is the word laic. And it means a freshness in the Hebrew. It's a vigor or natural force. It means just physical brute strength or just physical strength. It comes from another Hebrew word that's right underneath that, and it's lake or lack. And it means an undried, meaning unused. Or undried. Well, these bodies get used, right? But this comes from a place where it says that basically, it is also, I don't want to leave this out, it means green or moisture. In other words, Moses was not a dried prune. He was full of moisture, and he was full of vigor, and he was full of strength. And the amazing part is that it's important to note here that Moses was not living off of a supernatural endowment. Like, you're Moses, gave the Ten Commandments, you get a supernatural endowment. That's not the message here in the word natural force. It was in his natural force of strength, his physical force of strength. So it wasn't like the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to give you something special. But I'm sure he was in his natural force or strength was blessed. It was blessed. I will remind you at this point, and I've got to get on here. I will remind you once again that the main objective, and this is very important, the main objective in believing for longevity is not just a long, happy, prosperous life. But God wants you to be, God wants you to be happy as long as it goes along with his will. But it's in what God's desire. Let me just read it all the way through. I won't stumble through. I will remind you once again that the main objective in believing for longevity is not just a long, happy, and prosperous life in which God does desire for each of us, but to fully complete, this is the real issue, to fully complete our assignment and to help harvest the planet. Moses' ministry to Israel did not start until he was 80 years old. And we, again, our mind goes to say, well, that's Moses. That's kind of like that was the Old Testament. That's kind of when people lived. No, this is, again, I'll say this, that Moses was after the slash. Hopefully, there you go. He was after the slash, And Moses was 80 years old before he began his ministry. And you don't have to turn there, but the timeline of his life was in three 40-year parts. And Exodus 7:7 says this, "And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 80 and 3 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh." So it's telling us here that when Moses went and presented himself in the court of Pharaoh, he was 80 years old. If you study Exodus, you'll find Genesis, going into Moses' ministry, Moses was 40 years old when he fled into the wilderness to his father-in-law Jethro, and he tended sheep for 40 years. And so that makes him 80. When he went back to lead the children of Israel, he was 80 years old. That's when his ministry started. That's amazing. 80 years old, he starts his ministry. Someone may say, "I do not want to live 120 years in this present physical condition that I am in right now." That is totally understandable, and God has no desire for anyone to live decades in suffering just to have a long life. That's not the purpose. God does not want you living out your days in infirmity. Now turn to Psalms 107, and we'll look at verse 36. This is a shadow, but it's a very powerful shadow concerning health. Psalms 105, verse 36 says this, "He smote also all the firstborn in the land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not a feeble person among the tribes." Now, this is speaking about when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and it tells us here there was no feebleness among them, any of them. It didn't matter their age. And this word feebleness is also implying sickness, disease, in any maladies of any sort, that they're all, could you imagine, I don't know how many, there's estimated 1.5 to 3 million based on whoever you listen to. Can you imagine 1.5 to 3 million people coming out with this testimony? Nobody's sick. Nobody's infirmed. Nobody has a giddy up in their hitch. Everybody can walk well. And that was the testimony, and it's amazing. That was all supernatural, but here's the deal. That's the shadow of them coming out of Egypt, which is really our coming out of that's their slavery coming out of bondage. That is the shadow of our slavery to sin. When we are born again, we come out of that slavery of sin into the born-again world, the born-again nature, the born-again life. Coupled with that is all of the provision, the promises that we can believe for a totally healthy, infirmity-free life and body. Hallelujah. That's exciting. Hallelujah. That is really, really wonderful. There are a number of reasons why many Christians do not live out in any close proximity to the provision given. Now, Marty, you can turn that down just a little bit. I'm preaching myself happy. Okay, one of those, I'll read this again. There are a number of reasons why many Christians do not live out in any close, I'm not talking about 120, close proximity to the provision that God gave or given by God. One, here's some observations. One, they do not have a correlated lifelong vision with the provision. In other words, they've never synced that together or saw that correlation. They do not have a blueprint inside of them that includes this type of longevity. You getting this? Okay. Number two, some people simply do not care how long they live in regards to old age. Like, I guess I don't know. I want to live to be an old man or old woman. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. Well, you know, if you're 80 and you don't care, I don't know how, you know, have an objective to say, no, this is not where cutoff is for me. That's not cutoff. That's not like I'm in no man's land. According to the provision, you're not in no man's land in 80s, 90s, hundreds, 110s. We're getting there, okay? I've got more to say. Number three, most Christians do not understand that there is a divine permission slip. I call it a divine permission slip to believe to this extent. Okay? Number four, many Christians are fighting such a physical war already that they will not allow themselves to extend their faith into the possibilities of longevity. It's like, I feel so bad and I'm fighting so many infirmities. I just want to, brother, don't talk to me about living to be, that's foolishness to me. Listen, it's not going to be foolishness to you if you understand how the strength of it will bear out in your life and how that you can stand in, believing for the full provision. So some people just like, I just want to feel better. That's all. And again, this is not a forcible thing. It's a provision to be enjoyed or to be exacted or carried out based on what a person sees and what they can claim and believe. Number five, even after, a lot of times, even after the note of knowing that there is a provision exists, many are not willing to do what is necessary to meet the standards of the provision. Can God supernaturally turn back the clock? Is there real, you know, have you ever heard, I wish I could turn back the clock. Everybody, you know, even young people say, I wish, you know, you don't even think about it until you're in your 30s, maybe 40s, and then, you know, so in the NFL, 30s are old. You know, it's like 25 to 30, and then you get into 30s, they're like, you're kind of like, you're getting old for me. So that's how life is, but there's an adage, I just wish I could turn back the clock. Can God supernaturally turn back the clock? Well, Psalms 103, turn there, please, 103 verse 1. Are you getting anything? Hallelujah. I hope so. Psalms 103, verse 1. David says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth." Now here's the thing. "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things." What is good things? Word of God. Confessions of truth. "Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed." This isn't talking about, it's nice, this spiritualized thing. I think that's your spiritual. No, this is physical connotation. Your physical body, your youth is renewed like the eagles. I find myself often saying, "Jesus, I say that decades of youth are restored to my entire physical body." Hallelujah. Decades. I'll go through the house. I'll go outside. I'll work. Father, I thank you that decades are restored to my physical body based upon this particular scripture. And I'll say that scripture first, that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I said that, Lord, you satisfy my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Our objective is this. It's not to be a novelty, because we're talking about 120 years. Our objective is not becoming a novelty. Our objective is long years of ministry. long years of ministry. We are not wanting to become a prune. I hope that's not offensive. We're not wanting to become a prune in a wheelchair that people take pictures with. Oh, they're 110, 105. Let's go take a picture with. I've never met anybody that. Well, that's great, but that's not why we're teaching this. Staying on the planet as long as possible for the purpose of the kingdom of God and the body of Christ will become our main objective. Now, Paul, let's turn to Philippians 1, verses 23. Now, Paul, he went home pretty early. Based on historians, I'm guessing, and I've read about it a lot of times, but I'll say a safe age is about 67, which is very young. But his was martyrdom. He left because of sickness didn't take him. By the way, and I don't think anybody in here believes this, sickness, if you die of sickness, you're not a martyr. Martyrdom is not based on sickness, disease. Doesn't mean you go, you know, any place other than to heaven if you're born again. But sickness is not, dying of sickness is not to be honored as a martyr. Now let's look at verse 23. Paul said this, even though he died early because he was martyred, I am in a strait, verse 23, I am in a strait between two choices he's talking about, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, in other words, the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you. It was important to Paul to squeeze out every last day that he possibly could. He still became a martyr, but he was like, as long as I can live, my objective in living is to squeeze out another day for the profitability for the body of Christ. And so that's what all of us, now this is more of our repertoire, our portfolio of doctrine for revival, and it's going to be important for us to have this in us and really believe it going forward for the next 20 to 30 years. Somebody said, oh, it's not going to last that long. You know what? I know that's what everybody said forever, but we're preparing for long lasting revival, long lasting. So squeezing out more years for the benefit of the body. This is what Paul is definitely something God will become involved with. In other words, he'll bless that if you have that for that objective. Developing an understanding of the life flow. And I sure can't teach on this, although we've taught on this before. The life flow that is already resident inside the born-again spirit for the believers is very profitable in this outcome and how long you can live. That life flow, Romans 8:11, and you can turn there, but I'm not going to wait so much because we kind of need to move on because it's getting late in the hour. But you're going to give me time to finish all this, right? And I'm going to squeeze it. I'm going to get it all in. Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit, small spirit, born again spirit that dwelleth in you. This verse 2 in this same chapter, which was John G. Lake's favorite scripture concerning healing, for the law of the spirit of life, spirit S, small s, born again spirit in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Understanding, let me say this, we understand this around here. It deserves more explanation. I wish we had the time, but I'll just say it. Understanding the oozing process is vital. The oozing process, understanding the oozing process is vital. Spending a long time in his presence in worship and intimacy. This is another, maybe a good time to say Sunday nights is a good corporate time, but your personal sit downs with the Lord, spending time in presence, spending long enough in his presence to activate the oozing process is very vital. If you believe it, while you're sitting in his presence, worshiping him, and that presence is going into your spirit, then your spirit can also be oozing into healing virtue if you believe it and practice it. Sometimes hearing a good report in the natural is helpful, and I like that. Sometimes hearing a good report. How many of you say, it encouraged me when I hear something, because you're teaching the word, we believe it, we see this, there's no really reputable scripture that says we can't live any that we've given an allowance to live and believe for 120. And so there's nothing that I see old or new that says that cannot any longer be trusted for or believed for. But sometimes, let me just give you a few. Now these are some real, and this one's close to us. I like this, and I don't know, I'm not going to verify, I don't know spiritual conditions. I'm just saying something, I'm going to say some things in the natural here. For years I sit out, you know, in front of the house, and Candy and I still sit out there having morning coffee. And, for years, Miss Rita Howell would ride her bike, going over to Mr. Rainwater's house, which is a couple blocks over. And I was just at the Methodist Church the other day for a service, and I was in there, and that was the day they had his funeral. Well, I would talk to her all the time. She'd stop by, and of course, we're both, you know, Gator fans, so we would howl about all of our miseries and stuff, and yet, where are you going? I'm going to Daddy's house. And so just the other day when I was there at the service, I saw her, and that day they'd had his funeral. Well, he was 13 days, I think it was 13 days shy of 107. That's pretty good. But the amazing part was, he didn't go lay down like I can't get around anymore. He didn't get in bed until about 2 weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks before he died. That's how he was, and that's pretty remarkable. But then I know up into his like early hundreds, I'd go over there she'd come by and say, "What are you doing?" And it was like late 90s, early hundreds. He was still out in the yard mowing. They finally had to talk him out of stop mowing his own yard. Okay. So he was, that's amazing. Here's one that's on the spiritual side that I know, somebody I know. And I like this because a lot of times people will think, I'm 60, I'm 70, I'm 80, maybe I'm 50, or maybe I'm not even, you know, not even those ages. I might be in my late 30s, my late 40s. But especially when you get into the older years, like 80s, 70s, and 80s, you think that the body cannot, there's no possibility of ever getting younger or rejuvenation. Well, according to faith and according to scripture and satisfying our mouth with good things, decades can be put back on your body. Yesterday, Candy and I were doing just what I talked about. We were outside, and I think she had just got through walking around the block or something, and I just got off, you know, I just come out of the garage, and we were sitting there, and we got an unusual call in that we heard from a dear friend that I hadn't heard from in a while, and her name is Celia Rollins. I know she doesn't mind me saying, I don't know if she'll be watching this. She is an absolute beautiful person. I mean, she's just a beautiful lady in appearance and just an incredible lady, spirit-filled, born-again, spirit-filled woman of God that just prays all the time in the spirit and confesses the word. Well, Mr. Rollins, Dr. Rawlings was my dentist for years here, and he had a practice in Cape Coral, Florida, and a very successful practice. But we were very close to them growing up. He was my dad's age. They're probably in their early 80s. Sorry, Celia, to even say if you're watching. They were dear friends, and then later his son, became a doctor. He became a dentist, and I went to him. He's a little bit younger than me. And then they all moved up. Father and family did first, and then later the son moved up to Georgia. Well, we stayed in touch with him somewhat. Well, a few years ago, I think it was 2000, I went up there, and I was on an invitation for a deer hunt. And I was up there, and very nice place, and wonderful people, just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful spirit-filled people, love God, and just follow God incredibly. And for years, Celia, in her 70s, she developed a condition called a macular degeneration. And it's your eyes begin to, you can't see straight forward. You have peripheral vision, but certain things, it's a debilitation. Actually, you can really just almost go completely blind. And that happened to her. She was never that way down here. That happened to her. She was probably in her 70s. It kept getting worse and worse. And when I was there in 2000, it was not good. And I remember what a beautiful lady. And, you know, she's there in her big kitchen. And I was going to leave. And I said, can I pray for you? And I prayed for her. And I'm not saying that this was the only prayer. She and her husband and the whole family are just wonderful Christian people. Well, she called to check on us yesterday and find out how we were doing. We talked for 20-something minutes. And I said, Celia, Candy said, ask her about her eyes, because we'd heard her, Brooks, her son, told me, Mom's pretty much blind, you know, just almost blind now. She couldn't drive anymore. It was really, you know, I just felt so bad for her. And I said, Celia, Candy wants to know, and we want to know, how are your eyes? She said, Bronk. She said, I'll tell you what. She said, I got to tell you this. I got healed. She said, I was going to, Ollie and I were, Dr. Rollins, we kept going over to a specialist, the top specialist in Atlanta, because they live up there within a couple hours. And she said, this man was working with us. And she said, the Lord supernaturally healed that macular degeneration. And she said, it's incredible. The doctor, you know, he took x-rays, and, you know, it's one thing for you and I to say, I got healed or whatever, and doctors will go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But when you got one doctor's wife and a doctor sitting there and another doctor sitting there, and he comes back, and she said, he took the x-rays, and he goes, I do not understand what's happened to you. And she said, the Lord healed me. The Lord healed me. And that was such a wonderful report, because even in your 80s, 90s, whatever, you can totally receive a healing power of the Lord. I wish I had more time. I'm going to get close here and just, you know, this was, but I've got to read my confessions, right? You got to hear that part. I just wanted to encourage you. Just with natural things. I wish I had a whole lot more time, because I printed these off, and these are I only printed off, or this goes on down to 50 of, and this is today. This is as of January 24, today of 2024. And these are 50 of, you know, the long living people right now. And there's hundreds in the 110 category plus. But let's see. Let me just start. Can I just name a few? Okay. And I can't even pronounce some of these. This is Mary Florence from, I'm going to start in the nursery. I'm going to start way down where the kids are at. And this is Mary Florence. She's 112. She's from the United States, 112 and 149 days. Susie Lewis is 112 and 166 days. I could just go right up. She's 49. Go right up. You've got people from Japan, Brazil. Brazil at 112, 217 days. Shikiko Kama, whatever, from Japan, 112, 241 days. You know, I'm still down in the nursery. This is really down in the, and this is, so you got a Brazil, Japan, United States, Lillian Morgan, she's 112. But let's get up where some of the older folks live. Erna Borsing from Germany, she's 113 and 9 days. let's see, there's a whole list of the 113s. And so let me, I'm still down where the kids live. So let's get up into the, there are all kinds of, well, this lady just had her birthday yesterday. We should wish her a happy birthday. She's 113. She's from Japan. I can't pronounce her name. So the on and on and on, the 113s. And then you get into another lady from Shikiko Yamanichi or whatever. She's 114. So we go right on up. You know, you just keep going 114s. You get into the 115s, and then we get into the 116, 326 days, and this is of today. Marian Broncia from Spain, and she's 116, 326 days. Listen, folks, if these people are living these years, and most of them not even claiming the promises, I looked, I saw, it's just amazing. I wish I could show you the photo. I don't know if they had her kind of staged, but the longest living lady recently in modern times was Janine Lewis Clement, and she looked really good. They had her with her sunshades on standing. Somebody had done her makeup. She was 122 years and 164 days. She had squeezed out, eked out past the provision. Now listen, if these people are living this long, and somebody said, I don't really care about, okay, that's fine. There's no pressure on you to do this. But if you engage and believe for, it'll also take you past infirmities in the sense of the word is I've got a destiny. And this is not the end of my life. This that is attacking me, the cancer, the this or that, the other. I've got, if I'm 80, I've got 40 more years. Somebody said, well, Pastor, what if you don't make it? What if you get to be 110 and you don't get 120? Wow. Wow. If I don't try, where am I going to be? I've got to fight for this thing. I've got to believe for it. If these people could live this long, and probably most of them, they do not have a confession of faith based on the word of God. Where can we, the prophecy, there was a recent prophecy. The last prophecy said, be partakers in this. I'm desiring to get involved in your bodies and in your life. There's no calendar year or date that has any significance to me as in this. The only reason why I can say this, the Lord said in that recent prophecy, that in this year, in this hour, in this day is because of the ripeness of the fruit in your life. But I can speak through my servant this morning and prophesy to you that many of you listening in this house and those watching will see significant change in your physical things in your bodies this year, says the Spirit of the Lord. Begin to expect it. Begin to watch for it and begin to believe every moment that change is taking place and that I'm healing my body, that you may what? Run with this message. Now, here's what I never share. And one of the reasons why I don't share it, but the reason why I am is I know God wants to launch an offensive and give us some more definition towards what we can believe for. This is personal. But I can testify that it has not only become a place in my spirit, because I've been doing it for years now, okay? It's not only become a place in my spirit, it's also become a place in my soul. You remember, and I'm watching the clock, but do you remember have you ever heard Gary talk about that he so saturated his soul with scripture concerning finances that even if things ever get rough, he can't find it in his natural brain or soul to even worry. It's like there's been a transformation there. And it's like, worry, 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 worry. No, I can't worry. I can't. It's not like even a confession of faith, like I'm trying not to worry, but I'm going to confess. He's like, so all I can say is, and I'm being honest, because I've done it so much over the last so many years and made these confessions, that something has changed not only my spirit, But my soul, I'm not even trying to, my soul got trained, I guess, or it made a transformation. So honestly, and I'm being just as honest as I possibly can be, I'm 64, I just turned 64 a few days or a week ago. And in my way of thinking, I turned that, basically, my way of thinking, I'm just past the halfway mark of my life. And that's not trying to make any impression. That is what it is. I mean, I just totally believe that. And it continues to be added to. And I make these lifelong confessions. And we'll put this up once they're edited. They have to be edited so I can say it the right way. But we'll put this up alongside this message in a short time to come. But I start out with the Word of God, and then Psalms, the scripture that because I can tell you, confessing the Word and coupling it with healing scriptures, I always couple this. I have these confessions, and I also take the ones that Gary Carpenter developed concerning healing, and I will say those, and then I will say these. They have to come together for this really to change what you believe, and then also to change your soul to believe, yes, I'm going to live well past what seems to be normal, but is a provision. I can believe God is actually saying, I've set that perimeter. If you want to go that far for the purpose of the kingdom, you can believe for 120 years. So I'll say this. This is personal. You may say, well, okay. Psalms 91:15-16, we've already read that. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And I always do this, because my wife is we're one. And I have her total agreement, and she knows I do this, and so I say this, usually coupled with her in this. But I say, Father, I say that because I call upon you, and I'll also often say, and I always say, because Candy and I call upon you, but Father, because I call upon you, that you will answer me and you will be with me in trouble and deliver me. I say that with long life, you will satisfy me and show me your salvation. And then I quote to the Lord, Proverbs 3:1-2, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandment, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And I say, Father, I say that because I do not forget your laws, but keep your commandments in my heart, that with length of days, long life and peace you will add to me. And also include Candy. Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That's the one we cued off of mostly. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And I say, Father, I say that according to your provision, that Candy and I will live to be at least 100, and if Jeanette, whatever, was 122, and I don't know that she knew the Lord, some French lady over, and all these tons of 116s or 115s, and I mean, that's not even really a big deal anymore. So, Father, I say that according to your provision, that Candy and I will live to be at least 120 years old. We will live without infirmities. Our minds will be sharp all the days of our life, and our bodies will be strong and filled with health. Deuteronomy 34:7, as Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Father, I say that as you were with Moses, so you are with Candy and I. We will live to be at least 120 years old, and our eyes will not be dim, nor our natural physical force depleted. We will be just as strong at 120 as we are now. We will not grow senile. We will not pass away in a hospital nor a nursing facility, but we will pass away from this life into your glory at our own home under familiar surroundings. And we will need no physical assistance until the day of our departure. Exodus 12:20, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayst live long on the earth. Father, I thank you that because Candy and I choose to honor our parents, whether living or dead, we receive the commandment with promise. You have promised us long life on the earth, and I say that Candy and I will live to be at least 120 years old. That's another thing. Even if your parents, sometimes people say, my dad was abusive, he was this, he was that, I can't. The honoring of them, even if they went on, is that you come to a place of total forgiveness and you let them go and you stand before the Lord, and that is a place of honor. These confessions will, as I said, they will be edited and posted. I will remind you that no one has to choose this declaration of faith, but think of how much can be accomplished in and through believers who come to a place of true spiritual maturity in the earth and then have the extra decades to use their authority in this outpouring. Having a word-based confession concerning longevity is probably the most important tool for a person's faith in producing the end result. And as I said, I couple these confessions with the documents that we give out here from Gary Carpenter. Unless you become convinced that this by seeing it in the Word and then actively confessing, it will not produce. Okay? It will not work through another man's revelation. So whatever I think I'm convinced of, if you don't get it, it's not going to work. In the 20 ways of to win in 24, that message, if you remember that, one of those ways was to begin speaking things that sound absolutely bizarre to the natural mind. And so longevity, 120 years, that's where my confession's at. I hope that that becomes your confession. Hallelujah. All right, we took a longer time than normal, but we got some word out. So let's all stand. We love you watching, and you are family. Have a wonderful night. Father, bless those that are traveling home. Give them a wonderful night of rest and peace and blessedness, and bless their workplace. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.